Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with "Hated for Jesus' sake," as we pick up in Luke chapter 10, verse 16. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
They only hate you because of the one you represent. Because you are a representative of Jesus Christ, they actually hate him. And thus they vent their hatred of him upon you. But if they hate him, then they hate God. They hate the one who has sent him. Now he that hears you, hears me. He that despises you, despises me. We are so identified with the one who has sent us. And the 70 returned again with joy. He had sent them out in advance, and now they were coming back, and they said, "Lord, it was neat. Even the devils were subject unto us through thy name." In the name of Jesus, we do have authority and power over the demon spirits. And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." God help us. Let that sink into your heart. You as a child of the kingdom. The power that God has made available to us. Over all the power of the enemy. That's why Martin Luther wrote, "The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not at him. One little word will fell him." That name, or that word above all words. The name, the power, the name of Jesus. And yet we see the church so often trembling before the forces of darkness. We need not to tremble. The Lord has given us authority and power over every power of the enemy. But it's time that we start exercising this power and using it. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. You remember when old Paul was there cast up on the shore after the shipwreck, and they were building the fire, and this poisonous viper fastened on Paul, and the natives said, "Wow, he must be a murderer or something, because even though he escaped the storm, the gods aren't going to let him live." And Paul just shook the thing off into the fire, and they kept watching him because they knew that he should soon go into convulsions and die. And as he just kept sitting there warming himself and talking and all, then they changed their mind. They said, "He must be a god. Nothing will hurt you." You know, I do believe that we are sort of, there's a word that I can't quite pull it in. But I don't think that until God is through with us, that not much can happen to us. I really feel that God has a purpose for my life. And until that purpose is complete, God is going to preserve me. Now, I don't go out and just live recklessly and drive 100 miles an hour down the freeway. Well, you know, God's got a purpose, and so God's purposeful. Nothing can happen to me. Nothing can hurt me until God's purposes are fulfilled. That's stupid. God also gave us brains and prudence. But I do feel that there is sort of a divine protection over a person who is walking according to the purposes of God, and that nothing can happen to you until your purpose is fulfilled. In the book of Revelation, it tells us about the two witnesses whom God sends to bear witness during the time of the great tribulation. And it said, "And when the days of their testimony were complete, the Antichrist had power over them to slay them." He didn't have that power until their days were complete. I feel that until the days of my testimony and witness are complete, that I'm sort of indestructible. that God is going to keep me, God is going to preserve me until his purposes are fulfilled. And the minute the purposes of God are fulfilled and I have finished my testimony, I believe God is going to be gracious and good to me and take me home immediately. The minute he is through with my witness here upon the earth, why would he want to leave me here any longer once I have finished those purposes? So I have that confidence. My life is in God's hands. And until his purposes are complete, I'm going to be around. Not necessarily around here. I don't know that God wants me to always be around here. It would appear that way right now, but who knows? I don't know. I live from day to day. And you see, I am not my own to say where I am going to preach or in what manner or whatever. I'm his servant. And as his servant, I have to wait upon him for instructions. And he's the one who guides me. And he has a plan and a purpose. And he is working in me to prepare me for those works that he wants me to do for him. And when they're finished, I'm going home. So Jesus said that I have given you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Oh, interesting. Because not every one of them, but the 12 apostles, with the exception of John and Judas, were all martyred, some of them in very vicious ways, for their witness of Jesus Christ. But not until they had finished their testimony. Now Herod stretched forth his hand against the church, and he beheaded James, one of these that Jesus was talking to. And when Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he had Peter thrown in prison, intending to bring him forth on the next day and no doubt to execute him. But that night, an angel of the Lord came to Peter in prison and woke him up and said, "Peter, put your sandals on. Let's get out of here." And Peter followed the angel as the doors automatically opened in front of them and closed behind them. And Peter walked right out of the prison. And when he was out in the street, the angel left him. And Peter said, "Who? I guess it isn't a dream. It's real. I'm out. Wow." And he headed for the house of John Mark's mother, where the church was having a prayer meeting, praying that the Lord would help poor Peter in prison. And he knocked on the door, and the young girl came to the door. And she said, "Who is it?" He said, "It's Peter." And she got so excited, she didn't even unlock the door. She ran back and told those who were praying, "Oh God, help poor Peter. Peter's at the door." And they said, "Oh, you've seen a ghost. You're crazy." Don't tell me it was their prayer of faith that released Peter. It was God's sovereign work. God wasn't through with Peter yet. Yet there came a day when God was through with Peter's witness, and Peter, when they came to execute him, said, "Fellas, please, do me one favor." They said, "What is it?" He said, "You're going to crucify me, but don't crucify me in an upright position. I'm not worthy of that. That's the way my Lord was crucified. Crucify me upside down." And so Peter was crucified upside down. But not until he had finished his testimony. God will preserve you. Nothing will hurt you. He's got a purpose and a plan for your life. But Jesus said, "You're rejoicing the devils are subject. You don't rejoice in this. Not that the spirits are subject unto you. Don't rejoice in the phenomena. Don't get all excited over the phenomena that you see. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." You want to rejoice over something, rejoice over the fact that, hey, you're a citizen of the kingdom. Your name is written in the rolls of the heavenly kingdom. That's what you need to rejoice in. And in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. And that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? He rejoiced in the Spirit. Have you ever rejoiced in the Spirit? It's an exciting experience to rejoice in the Spirit. When God's Spirit is moving upon your heart, and just to be rejoicing in the Spirit is a beautiful experience. And Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them unto these babes. Even so, Father, for it was good in your sight. Jesus is looking at these simple people. He sees their excitement as they're saying, oh, Lord, it was glorious. Oh, we had such a neat time. The devils were subject to us. And, you know, we were doing this. And, oh, you should have seen that. And all. And the Lord was saying, oh, you know, that's good. But don't rejoice really in these things. Rejoice that your name's in heaven. You're part of the kingdom. And then he just, oh, it's so beautiful. See these simple people. They're not, they weren't the Pharisees. They weren't the rulers. They were just plain simple people. And he said, oh, Father, so great that you hid these things from those self-important people. You've revealed them unto these babes because it seemed good to you. I'm glad that I'm just a simple person. God is so good to make me just a simple person. I hate complexities. I had a lady in my church one time that used to call me up and say, now, Pastor Smith, the other day when you said good morning, what did you really mean by that? When I say good morning, I mean good morning. I don't mean anything else. I don't speak in, what is it, double entendre? I don't even know the word. I don't have hidden meanings. I don't try to use subtleties and complexities and hide the true meaning. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. I'm not smart enough, you know, to speak in these subtle kind of things and say one thing and really mean another. You can't really know what I mean until you, you know, discern it and study it and find the hidden meaning in what I said. I'm not that way. Jesus wasn't that way. And it's tragic that a lot of people try to make Jesus that way in their interpreting of the scripture. Now, what did Jesus really mean by this? And then they get into the spiritualizing of the scripture where they lose the sense of it altogether. Jesus meant what he said, and he said what he meant. And you can just believe it and trust it. Father, I thank you that you've hid these things from those big shots and you've just revealed them to these babes. Oh, so it seemed good in your sight. And then he said, all things are delivered to me of my Father. Quite a statement, isn't it? All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. No one really knows who God really is except those whom Jesus has revealed the truth of the Father to. No man can come to the Father except he is drawn. So if you have been drawn to God through Jesus Christ, be thankful. Because unless there was that work of God's Spirit in your life, you'd have never have made it. And he turned again to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. How blessed it is for a person to see, to understand the things that you see, to have the same understanding, to perceive these things. And I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things which you see, but they didn't see them. And to hear those things which you hear, but they have not heard them. Many important people would give everything to have what you have in that glorious relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Oh, he said, you're blessed that you have seen these things and that you've seen them. Now, there was a certain lawyer who stood up, tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, what is written in the law? How do you understand it? And he answered, saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said, that's correct. Do it, and you'll live. But he wasn't satisfied. He was wanting to justify himself in front of the others. And he said, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, there was a certain man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his clothes and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise also a Levite was at that place, and he came and looked at him, and he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and he saw him, and he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil in and wine. And he set him on his own beast, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, when he was leaving, he took out 2 pence, and he gave it to the host, and he said to him, take care of him. And whatsoever you spend more than this, when I come again, I will repay you. Now, which of these 3 do you think was his neighbor to the man who fell among the thieves? And he said unto him, the one that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. Who is your neighbor? Whoever is in need. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is my neighbor? The man who is in need. Now, of course, subtly, Jesus is again making an outsider the hero of the story. You see, the priest and the Levite do nothing. In all of their self-righteousness, they do nothing. Who is the one that helps him? A hated Samaritan. He becomes the hero in the story. The one that they have such strong racial prejudice against is the one that Jesus lifts up in the hero's role, knowing good and well that it would irritate them. But he didn't care. Now, it came to pass. It's an interesting phrase. Luke uses it over and over again. Have you noticed that? Whenever he introduces a new little scene, he usually introduces it with a phrase, and it came to pass, one of Luke's special little phrases. Now, it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, listening to his words. Now, we know from other gospels that this is Mary and Martha who lived in Bethany with their brother Lazarus. So Luke doesn't identify this village, nor does he identify the sisters any more than Mary and Martha, but we know from other accounts that it is Mary and Martha from the city of Bethany, the sisters of Lazarus. And Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Now, the big crowd came in. Jesus, you remember, I said, traveled with a lot of people, and here were at least 70 traveling with him because he sent them out 2 by 2 to go in the villages ahead of him. So imagine this crowd coming in for lunch. And Martha was cumbered with much serving. And frantic, she came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Order her to help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, oh, Martha, Martha, you are so full of care and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. What was it? Sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning. You know, so often we get so concerned about our serving God. And we get so busy in activities. And we get so worried and encumbered in our service for God that we forget the better part of just sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning. God help us that we don't fall into that trap of over-involvement in service to the extent that we don't have time to just sit and worship at His feet as we learn of Him.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Luke on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Luke 10 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless you. May the good hand of our Lord be upon your life. And may you experience that power in your life. And may you experience the rejoicing in the Spirit. And above all, may you have that joy of just sitting at His feet to learn, to worship, rather than being encumbered about and full of care and troubled about what I'm going to get Aunt Jane and Uncle Charlie. It's an easy time of the year, isn't it, to be a Martha? You better take time to be a Mary, because you never can be a good Martha until you've learned to be a good Mary. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, may that be your joy, your strength, your delight this week. In His name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Hey, I want to tell you about a biblical counseling ebook by Chuck Smith. It's pretty easy to download and takes only a minute. I can't tell you how grateful I am for something like this. It's a game changer for anyone who needs to counsel or talk with someone on the spot. Like when I'm talking with my friends and a complicated issue comes up, I can do a quick search on my phone and get immediate answers that lead them to God's Word. So not only do I get Pastor Chuck's commentary, but I can find out what the Bible says about it. There's seriously so many helpful topics, like dating or self-image, lust, waiting on God, or even what certain religions or cults mean. I could even use this when I have a question myself. To download the Biblical Counseling eBook by Chuck Smith, or to preview a demo, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link provided. To find out more, you can call 1-800-272-9673. 1-800-272-9673.